Member-supported Jazz 90.1 proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415 or soundbites.org. Now, alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. American, all chips in the PC. It is Saturday, the 9th day of March, Anno Domini 2019. And you, you lucky people, you're listening to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And 6 minutes after the hour, we're going to be bringing you news, views, things to choose, nothing to lose. Kick off your shoes. Don't get the blues. Here comes the news. That's right. Steve Ray, one step ahead of the law in the Southwest, hiding among the Badlands and the Mesas. Riding his ass around the country, his burrow, excuse me, and they call them burrows there.
Oh.
And so we're without him, and that means we're also without the YouTube video today. But other than that, we'll be fine.
In other words, I don't have a camera staring at my bald spot.
That's exactly right. Other than that, we're going to be good. We're going to be good. So, again, you can, of course, give us a call, as you heard at the top of the show, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 1-800-790-0415. Of course, you can text us, 585-209-9010. Listen to us live on our stream or over the air, but not on YouTube today. So Google updated the release announcement for the Chrome web browser version 72.0.3626.121. They're getting as bad as Apple. With a warning that the zero-day patch in the release is being actively exploited in the wild. That is to say, there is a hole in the previous versions of Chrome, and it is actively being hit. So if you haven't updated, do so. After initially publishing the update on March 1st with no mentions of a security flaw being abused, the Chrome team modified the announcement with exploitation information for the vulnerability, stating that Google is aware of reports that an exploit for CVE-2019-5786 exists in the wild. Now, CVE, I forget what that stands for, virus something. The numbering scheme is the year 2019 and the numbered exploit, virus exploit, in the year. And that means it's the 9th of March, and we're already at number 5,786. The security issue tracked as CVE-2019-5786 and rated by the Google Chrome team as high severity is a use-after-free flaw in the browser's file reader API, an API designed to allow the browser to access and read locally stored file. Potential attackers can employ maliciously crafted web pages, designed to allow them to use previously freed memory in a visitor's computer via that Chrome file reader API to execute arbitrary code and take over a device or trigger a denial of service condition. See, when you read a file in anything, that file comes into memory.
Right.
That memory is then released. The problem is Google Chrome was releasing it, but not...
Totally.
Well, it released it, but it didn't mark it as no longer usable.
Mm.
So if somebody put something bad in there, the rest of the machine would go, oh, I can use that. That's legit. And that was the problem. While possible exploitation of a vulnerable Chrome installation can lead to very serious consequences from data deletion and malware infections, it's also important to understand that the attackers will only be able to run code under the context of the user browser. Given this, users logged in under accounts with limited rights, that is to say, not as administrator, could be affected less because attackers would have limited access under which to abuse the machine they successfully compromised. Either way, the word of the day is update. Update your Google Chrome web browser to the latest 72.0.3626.121 version, since all previous versions are vulnerable to the attacks. Luckily, Google Chrome should be configured by default to auto-update to the latest stable release, so most users should only need to restart their web browsers to be protected. This is also true of Chromebooks and Android phones. They've all been updating this week. To limit the damage zero-day vulnerabilities can do, users should always keep their apps up to date, never log on or run software as the administrator or root, and think twice before visiting unknown websites. Blindly clicking on links is a recipe for disaster. So our poll of the week at soundbites.org. That is Bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you, is Chrome patches zero-day vulnerability. And your choices are, all my stuff is updated. I'll make sure that update goes through. Going commando, baby. And Chrome? What is Chrome? As in kiss? What is kiss? So far, we've got 30 people who voted in the poll, and Chrome patches zero-day, all my stuff is updated is the number one vote. Not quite by half. But I know you'll have more to say. So if you scroll down on the right under fascinating stuff, you'll see the forums. The second forum down is the poll discussion. Currently, at least, the number one item under the poll discussions is 9 March 19, Chrome patches zero-day vulnerability. You can join us in talking in that post. And, of course, you can give us a call at 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Or toll free at 1-800-790-0415.
Breaking news.
Breaking.
The YouTube stream is up with audio feed.
Oh, very nice, Steve. Very, very nice.
And he says we can try the Hangout if Nick wants.
Yeah, we can, but I don't have any way to put you anywhere.
We can put him somewhere.
And I mean that in the nicest way, of course. You want to try Skype or you want to try? I don't know what you want to try here.
He's listening, so
I don't know. I don't even know if I have Skype here on this machine. I might.
I'm sure he'll get back to us.
I'm sure he will.
One thing we should remind folks, just so you're not late for church tomorrow or anything else.
That's right.
Tonight, before you go to bed, remember you spring forward. You know, I was kind of surprised. I had a young individual at our work. I said, oh, yeah, this weekend we spring forward. They go, what?
Wow.
I go, have you ever heard of the term? Yeah, you spring forward or you fall back. They go, and this blank look on their face. It's like, oh, that's a cool way to remember it. That's pretty ingenious. Did you think of that? I go, sweetie, that's older than dirt.
Yeah.
As that's always the way it's been since I've been alive, is you always learned as you spring forward and you fall back. Of course, there was a news article there that Florida and a few other states might finally get rid of it. And I think we should, too.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that at all. I think it's well outlived its usefulness. My daughter lives in Arizona. They don't, where she is, most of Arizona doesn't do daylight savings time. It hasn't seemed to harm her at all.
Yeah, no.
At least I can't blame her quirks on that.
Let's
put it that way.
It's totally ludicrous. I mean, why we even do it. Well, there was, I forget what year, it was during the energy crisis, back in the 80s, I think it was. We skipped a year.
Yeah, we did.
And we didn't, go through daylight savings times. The world kept turning. No national disasters happened. And everything, went along okay for the whole year. And
right.
It's surprising. Other states don't have it, and they get along great without it. But going back to your original article about Chrome, I noticed Foxfire, though, talking about
Firefox.
Firefox. I don't know why I keep saying Foxfire. Firefox, that's all messed up on me. They did an update, and now all of a sudden that browser is going totally wonky. That I said, oh, the heck with it. And I just turned it off. I don't even bother with it anymore. Chrome is far more reliable and faster. And I know they're trying to catch up to Chrome in functions and features that Chrome already does, but no.
Right.
Not a big fan. And I just like the way, this is the beauty of it. I could be doing, say, working on the computer downstairs with Chrome, and say I save passwords or anything else, which it'll automatically do for me. If I go upstairs to the ham room and log into my computer there into Chrome, and I got to log into this site, oh, yeah, it remembers the password. It's like, sweet! You know, it just keeps track of everything for me. Less hassle that I don't have to even, like you say, remember or write down, because Chrome does it all. And it's been, you know, keeping track of it and making life a lot easier. So, yeah, I don't know. I'm still trying to do some investigation and figure out what the heck is going on with that browser. But like I say, they were trying to add some new features to Firefox. And, yeah, no, it's just not working right. And I haven't had the time to, you know, fiddle around with it. And they're saying, oh, you'll be able to do this and do that. It's like, yeah, no. Not right now. I just haven't had the time to do it, so.
Yeah, no, I get it. All right, I'm trying to do too many things at
once. Oh, yeah, no. No. One other thing I have to explain to folks, which you and I have been talking about for well over a couple of years, is I finally got the notice that Greenlight is coming to my area.
Yep.
So any of you folks that are over the Irondequoit area, over there by, say, the Empire and Dan's Crafts and all that area, if you got the notice, please sign up. I want to get the green light. It's down the end of my street, and all they got to do is come straight on up and get hooked up. But I at least finally got the notice that they're in our area and willing to consider it. But so I'm kind of excited on that. It'd be nice to get.
That'll be a lot of fun.
500 megabits compared to 66 right now. And I know you were shocked when you said, well, you get a
66.
And
like,
I go, huh?
It's nothing. It's nothing.
Wait a minute. Going back to my DSL days when I was only getting 12 to 14, and then all of a sudden I jumped up to 66, it was like, holy crud, this is fast. So, you know, I was able to cut the cord more effectively by at least bumping up to that. And, I mean, you know, I can do the Netflix and I can do Sling and have it throughout the whole house. And it's great, that speed. So I can't imagine what it's going to be like if once we can get the 500 megabit. I mean, like you were saying before, though, you go to download a movie or something like that and boom, it's there.
No, yeah, when I'm on Netflix, it goes 1%, 2%, 9%, 99%. Oh, movie started.
See, it takes me a while for that to come up.
Okay, so where the heck are my Hangouts?
He's trying to say Dave put the board on at PC 3 channel B.
I don't know. I'm doing too much at once. I do want to say thanks to Ken, who sent us a little something. I will definitely check that out. Thank you, Ken. And we also had a longtime listener on Soundbites who was at the public market this morning at the Flower City Coffee Company for coffee. And I would like to give out a shout out to Gabby from Spencerport. And her buddy Chris, and Chris says her computer is dead, so call in.
She's having trouble with her.
Apparently, she is. Yes.
Well, this is a place to do it. And oh, excuse me.
Sure.
Took a sip of coffee and it went down the wrong tube, but yeah, but going back to the browsers and that, though, I mean, for folks not to get into using Chrome, I mean, I'm still arguing with some folks, you know, they get so defensive about using Internet Explorer.
Yeah.
I mean, well, I was told by an expert that, no, that's what I have to use. They said that's what came with the machine, and that's what they recommend. And, no, nobody else will support anything else. It's like, yeah, no.
No.
You don't have to. Well, are you sure? I've been kind of doing this for a few years at least. And Internet Explorer has not been one of the browsers that I have ever used with any, I would say, even glimpse remotely usage. I mean, you could probably count on the number of times during the year that I used Internet Explorer back in the day on one hand and still have a couple fingers left over, because Chrome or Firefox were always a heck of a lot better. Didn't wind up letting malicious stuff come into my machine. I mean, it was just unbelievable.
Yep.
Dan, where are you calling from? Okay, hold on. We got dead air, Nick.
Hello? I'm sorry. Like I said, I'm trying to do 10 things at once, and I'm not doing any of them well. And I apologize to everybody. But we're going to go to the phones, and maybe that'll make life a little easier for everyone. And there's Steve. Now, Steve. Okay, I'm calling Steve, and now Steve is calling me.
Okay.
Okay, Steve, and I just hung up on him accidentally.
Well, you two do that.
Well, let's go to the phone.
Yeah, we got Stan on the phone from Webster. Go ahead, Stan. What's your question?
Hey, good morning, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Yeah. I wanted to just double check. You guys were mentioning about the update on the Google Chrome.
Yeah.
Is that something that I have to do on the Chromebooks also, or is that automatically something that's usually just uploaded and updated on its own?
Yeah, it'll update on its own. They should have come this week, or it should come this week. And at some point when you just turn on your Chromebook and let it run for a while, you'll eventually see a little number in the corner, probably just a one, and that means you have one message. When you click on it, it'll say your Chrome has been updated, restart, and there'll be a little button. You hit the restart button, bang, you got the new version.
Okay, on the same lines, because I'm a new Chromebook user. I'm just new to the whole thing. I've been using iPads and stuff like that. So,
right.
I'm curious about how can I apply? Like, I have portable CD drives and stuff like that.
Yeah.
How compatible is that kind of equipment to the Chromebook? Because if I wanted to, let's say, upload some music or something onto a site there or something that I'm trying to do on the computer or the laptop itself.
Well, it depends on how old the device is.
Right.
But in general, all of those devices are compatible with Chromebooks.
Okay.
Like I said, it depends on how old or I suppose obscure the hardware is. But in general, it should work as long as it has a USB connector.
Okay. Can I ask one more quick question?
Sure.
Just out of curiosity, because I'm noticing that one of my older laptops recently with Windows 10 and all, when I try to look or watch a DVD that I plug my portable DVD player or DVD drive to, it hasn't been reading the disc for the Windows Media Player. I don't know if they've done something recently now where with the upgraded OS systems where they make you find a specific program now to just watch movies on your computer.
Yeah, they had a DVDs on Windows 10. They had a you need the software. Probably your best bet is to download the VLC Media Player.
Okay.
I believe that's in the store, in the Windows store.
Yeah, VLC.
That's the one
works
that has
great.
Like the orange cone kind of looking pile.
Yep.
Yes.
Okay. Works great.
And then what happens is you put your DVD in. If it doesn't rev up automatically, then open up VLC. Select the open disk command, choose the option for DVD, and click play.
Okay. All right. That sounds easy enough.
Easy enough.
Thank you guys so much for all your help.
Yeah, absolutely.
No problem, man.
All right. Have a great weekend.
You too. All right. So I start a video call with Steve.
Somebody to me.
And I start a video call. and currently I'm the only one in it. So I send Steve Ray, probably at his work address, an invitation, and I wait. And while we wait, we'll talk to Gary from, oh, I see, now it won't, oh, that's mildly painful. How interesting. Okay. Let's talk to Gary from Rochester, New York. Hi, Gary, what's up?
I'm a frequent caller, and I don't want to take a lot of your time because of that. But I had a number of questions, and I'll start with the simplest one. And if we don't have time for all of them, that it's perfectly okay with me. The first one is I'm getting rid of two old computers, and there are a couple of utilities that I'm willing to give away. And what they are is a keyboard that would go with any desktop. It's a Microsoft, and the other is a flat-screen monitor that's quite small by modern standards. But I've listened to your show for a long time, and I can recall in the past you talked about a not-for-profit, or it might be just a volunteer group, that put together old and used computers for college students of modest means, just not to go on the Internet, but just to type their term papers. And I wonder if such things exist.
I haven't seen them in a very long time. So what I'm going to do is put out the word to everybody listening.
Great.
If you know of one of those places, please call in.
Right, and I'll listen to the whole show, and I'll get it off the air.
Perfect.
Okay, the second question is, and it's kind of amusing. I have Frontier as an ISP and still have a landline phone, and I'm buying a new computer, and I had a simple question, and called Frontier support and spent an interesting hour dealing with two people who couldn't answer this question. It's just that, is it an IMAP situation with Yahoo Mail, or is it a POP3? Because what I'm interested in is being able to put the old emails that I've collected onto the new computer. And one of them thought she could answer it, but I really didn't trust her because her English was terribly limited. She was a contractor probably with an offshore company.
Sure. Well, we only have about a minute, so let me answer this question. Nominally, that is to say, theoretically, Yahoo supports both IMAP and POP3.
Okay.
If this is an individual account, you should be able to use either. Their small business accounts generally work better over Poppin, and that's got to be something they actually programmed in because there should be no difference. But you should be able to do standard IMAP with Yahoo.
Okay, so, and I am an individual residential user.
Perfect.
Can I hang on through the break?
Yes, I think so. That'll be fine. We're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes, Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, Gary, and you. It's 29 minutes after the hour at Soundbites. It's member-supported Jazz 90.1.
It's America's longest-running computer show. Back to more Soundbites with Nick, Dave, and Steve. Next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray. I have to go wait on a customer.
Okay, bye-bye. Steve's in a Hangout right now. I don't know if Hangouts live past Google Plus. I haven't even paid any attention to that.
I'll pot them down for right now because we don't want to
We don't want to hear the thing. But when he comes back, we'll talk to him. In the meantime, we've got Gary on the line. Gary, one more question, then we got to move on to somebody else.
Okay. You said it's possible at Yahoo, is it possible to get either POP3 or IMAP with Yahoo and or with Frontier Mail? And is IMAP the one where they keep them on their server, or is it one that's in my, or does that put the email messages right in my computer.
No, IMAP is the one that keeps it on their server.
Oh, great.
So that you can see it on multiple machines.
Great. That was good. The best news I've heard all day. Okay, I'll get off the air and listen to the rest of the show.
Perfect. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Yeah, you are allowed to have both IMAP or, well, not both, either IMAP or POP3 as your email client and the in your email client. And with POP3, the mail gets pushed down to your machine, generally speaking, and removed from the server. With IMAP, it stays at the server. Most ISPs don't care for that because it uses a lot of their disk space, as if disk space costs a lot of money these days. But they prefer that you download it. But if you leave it up there, it means you can now see all of your email on your desktop, your laptop, your phone, your tablet, everywhere, because it's all the same stuff, because it still lives up at the server. And for you, that's much better. So, yeah, that's actually a pretty cool thing. So we're going to go back to the phones now. And, of course, you can give us a call, 585-9 what?
No, I was going to say, before we go back to the phones to talk to the gentleman there, we had another person call in or type in a question. And it says, hello, my question is there a way to put a password protected on a password protect or encrypt a folder on Google Drive? I wish to store some valuable financial documents on the drive, but I'm concerned about the safety of the information.
That's an excellent question. You cannot directly password protect a folder on Google Drive. But what you can do is if you want data that you want to store there and keep it protected, you can zip it up with a password before you send it up. Now, the other thing to note is that according to Google, though, that information is private to you. Six of one, half dozen of the other, yeah. But that's it depends on how you believe that. But there's no way to directly encrypt a drive on Google Drive.
But yeah, well, one, you'd want zipping it up and encrypting it right there is safer anyways. One, it's less time to transfer it up or bring it back down if you need to. And since it is zipped, you know, and encrypted, you know, you're double protected.
Right. Yeah. So you can give us a call. 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free. 1-800-790-0415. Just like Larry did from Greece, New York. Hi, Larry. What's up?
Well, I'm going back half an hour just to say on daylight savings.
Yeah.
For people who like to do stuff outside,
yeah.
9 o'clock is more useful in the evening than 5 o'clock in the morning.
Yes. Yes,
like
it is.
Golfers and softball players and others.
Yep. No, I appreciate that absolutely, but
no, there is use to it. It's confusing to people, but
well, my thought is why not just leave us on daylight savings time all year?
Yeah,
saving time.
That
there's
makes
no S.
Sense, except now you got the argument of kids going to school in the morning in the wintertime or fall with more dark hours then.
No, and I understand that, and there also now is an argument that young kids shouldn't be asked to start their day before 8:30.
Yeah,
just biologically, they're not.
They
should get 9 hours of sleep or more. So you can go around and around and around, but I'll tell you,
yep.
Daylight saving time is confusing and dangerous, and it was a
past its time.
It was a construct that actually wasn't designed for farmers at all. It was designed by some guy in somewhere in Europe, and I can't remember where. But the point is, I believe that many people feel it's past its prime.
Yeah, perhaps. Well, it's got its uses. Okay, I'll let you get back to your computer stuff.
Thanks, Larry.
Enjoy the day.
You bye too. Bye. Yeah, I don't know. It's certainly possible that daylight saving time saves a purpose.
Okay, hold on.
But I don't know what that purpose is anymore. In fact, daylight saving time. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. It was first suggested by Benjamin Franklin. That's right. The reason I think it was somebody in Europe is because his essay, An Economical Project for Diminishing the Cost of Light, was published in the Journal de Paris.
Okay.
In April of 1784.
And what does that got to do with the price of eggs?
Yeah, it's nothing, quite frankly, at
just
all.
Just scrambled.
Right, and it was... oh, see, there you go.
Yeah,
New Zealand scientist George Vernon Hudson and British builder William Willett. A two-hour shift from October in October and a two-hour shift back in March. Interesting.
But they say it causes more problems, especially when we spring forward, because people are losing their hour sleep. And it throws them off, and it takes folks a good week
to get back. They say more accidents happen during that week. They say don't buy anything made during that week.
Yeah, I mean, there's just people are deprived of an hour's sleep.
Right.
That's the whole trouble with our busy schedules nowadays. You know, people are on the go so much more than even back in the other older time, say 40, 50 years ago, even more so now. More active lives, that hour of sleep, they've learned that it is crucial that you need it.
Yep. And by the way, I apparently lied. It wasn't Benjamin Franklin. It was those two guys that I mentioned afterwards. It was first used in Canada in 1908. Germany popularized it in 1916. And while Benjamin Franklin mentioned it, nobody did it.
Mm-hmm.
Until 1908, so
that's when it started officially here in the U.S.
It started in the U.S. Doesn't say. Oh yeah, here it is. 1908. No, that's the British Parliament. Daylight Savings Bill, 1909. Nope, doesn't say. Daylight saving time today.
Hmm.
70 countries worldwide, affects a billion people a year. Oh, that's got to be an old...
Well, I'd say that's one of the big news articles right now on all the feeds and everything else. Florida and a number of other states, you know, right along line of on the East Coast, Maine and a few of the others, Pennsylvania, are all considering it. And it's like, well, once those fall and go to it, the rest of the states, you know, on the eastern side of the U.S. will fall in line and do the same because it serves no purpose to, you know, have that many. Oh, what state are you in? Oh, yeah, that's right. I can't call you until this time versus, oh, yeah, we're at, you know.
Right, right. And I spend 6 months remembering my daughter's 2 hours earlier than I am. Now I have to remember she's 3 hours earlier.
Because of daylight saving. Yeah.
Right, right. And let me tell you, when you call her at 11 a.m. and it's actually 9, that's okay. But when you call her at 11 a.m. and it's actually 8, not so good.
Yeah.
not so good.
Yeah.
Or 7 if you call her at 10.
She might still be sleeping.
Yeah, she might. no, she's getting ready for work, but she doesn't, you know, that's sacrosanct time.
Still,
nobody
yeah,
likes to get bothered when they're...
Yeah, that's too distracting. It gets you out of your groove and, you know, getting ready to your routine and that.
Right. Mm-mm. And I don't know if I actually said this. Happy birthday to my daughter. Today is her birthday. I'm very excited about that. So that's pretty cool. And we have Ken from Webster waiting patiently on the line. Thank you, Ken. How are you?
I'm all right. Hold on till I get my wife so she can slap me, wake me up.
Yeah, my wife beats me up every morning, probably by about 2 hours.
Well, the line's been open for the last 3 minutes, so I've heard the full conversation.
Oh, there you go. Excellent.
My wife asked me a question the other day regarding her Chromebook, which I couldn't answer. I'm sure you must have answered this over time, but I have the same question. Now, she's right here at the table, but she doesn't want to talk to you guys. She told me, she says, look, I can handle one man, but I don't know if I can handle three.
Yeah.
Yeah, baby.
but her question and my question, she's got a Chromebook, I have a Chromebox. Here's the question. What is the reason or the necessity for the Chromebook or box to acquire recent files?
I have no idea quite what you mean by that.
Yeah, what do you mean?
Well, just open up... Yeah, if you open up your files, the very top one says recent.
Oh, you mean like on Google Drive and Google Docs?
Well, it's the top file.
Yeah.
And what did you open to delete them, Patty?
I clicked the delete separately, and they were gone, and then they were all back.
Yeah, but what was the page that you opened? Google Drive? Was it Drive? And there's a whole bunch of things on there that you can address. And in fact, you can actually put things in the trash. Well, she did that. She went through all those recent files, and she deleted them all.
They were gone.
And the next day, they were there. Now, when I first got the Chrome box or book, I can remember reading something about it, but here's what it said. You can't get rid of them.
Well, no, hold on. Here's the deal. What you see at Quick Access is a link to the last four open files.
All right.
So you got rid of the link, not the file.
Okay. How many? All right. Next says you got rid of the link, but not the file. But they represented themselves as, how many did you try to delete, and they went away?
Oh,
75 or 80?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you deleted the links, not the actual. What you do is, if you open those files,
right?
Well, I had already done that, but okay. If you open a file, then under, I think it's under file. I'm just waiting for it to open right now.
I mean, these files are all kitty cats and dogs, but. That's what she collects, okay?
Sure. Pictures or... They're pictures of cats and dogs?
That's right.
Yeah, okay. You... Okay.
It sounds like maybe nobody's asked this question before.
Yeah, no. When, if you're actually in the document, you can move it to the trash.
All right.
But it's in the document itself that you move it to the trash. When you are just on the screen that lists all your files, when you hit remove, it removes it from the list of recent files, but it doesn't delete the file itself.
Yeah, I guess it's a little above my head. Now, my wife just said to me what she thought she remembered reading. You can delete the shortcut, but you can't delete the actual file.
You can't delete it from there. If you open the file...
All right.
Then you can do a, forget if it says place it in the trash or move to trash. That gets rid of it.
But doing that, you're getting rid of the file off the Chromebook, correct?
Yeah, you're getting rid of the file off of Google Docs, yes.
Okay.
It's not like the old Windows way where you could sit there, say, in Explorer and select a group of files and, say, delete these, and it gets rid of them. Within Chrome and the drive there, you have to physically open each one and remove one at a time.
Right. And actually, it works exactly like shortcuts do on Windows. If you delete the shortcut, you haven't deleted the file. Only that shortcut to the file.
That's correct.
And that's the same thing with the quick access line on my drive.
Yeah, like the other day, I was cleaning up the desktop a little bit, and I inadvertently deleted Rebo. But I could just get on the C drive and open it up, and there it was, and I dragged it back where it was.
Right, because you didn't delete the file, you only deleted the shortcut. And shortcuts are essentially what those quick access things are.
But, you know, these are showing up. We don't use Google Drive. That's what we don't. Basically, everything that Patty saves is on what's that, Patty? It's on a flash drive. We don't put anything in Google Drive.
What program are you in when you see these recents?
Say that again?
What program are you in? Is it the file manager?
Is that the file manager?
No, it's just... I go to... the launcher and go to drive.
Yeah. Yeah, she goes to the launcher and then goes to drive.
And then that brings up...
Like I'm like Chromebox. I've got kind of a little unorthodox way of doing it, but I took a flash drive, put it on my normal computer, and I made three folders and named them what I wanted. And so then I put them on the Chromebox. So I got horses, cows, whatever, you know.
Right, right.
They
but okay,
get a cow,
so
there's the folder for the cow.
Okay, but here's the thing: if you opened the multicolored triangle that takes you to drive, then you were on drive.
We didn't open the triangle to drive.
You told
right
me
then.
You opened the launcher and clicked on drive.
Oh, you did?
To drive.
Okay.
So if you clicked on the multicolored triangle that took you to drive in the browser, then you were indeed on Google Drive.
Well, see, I don't go to drive.
I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about your wife.
I know. Well,
and
I'm
so,
just using that as an excuse why I don't see him and she does.
Oh, right, right. And that's exactly why. Because she's on, well, you'd have different drives anyway unless you're sharing an ID, but the idea here is that if she's on Google Drive, then she sees a list across the top that says quick access, and you can delete those, but they're just shortcuts. They don't delete the actual file, only that quick access link to the file.
I guess one last thing I'll say. We're probably unorthodox compared to other people.
Yep.
I will tell you why. Because her code or her numbers to sign on her Chromebook are exactly like mine. Her book, we don't keep our bookmarks separate from one another, so that's maybe not a good idea, but that's how we've operated for quite a while.
Well, you're sharing a drive, and that's a beautiful thing. There's certainly nothing wrong with it as such.
Uh-huh.
Unless you start sharing that with many other people.
No.
But as long as, you know, until you split up, it's
yeah.
not a bad thing.
Okay. Did I ever tell you, I said that was the last thing, but I got one more thing to tell you. In fact, I told this to somebody recently that helped me out, and what I told them, I'm going to tell you.
All the guys there,
all three of you are farmers. You know what I mean by that?
No.
You're all outstanding in your field.
Thank you so much.
Okay?
Thanks.
Bada bing. That's all I got. Thank you very much.
Thank you. He'll be here all week trying to deal.
Yeah. Bada bing.
Yeah. It can get a little confusing as to what's where on what machine.
Yep.
And that's why, you know, if you live in that Google ecosystem where everything's up on Drive, on, you know, in your Chromebook, everything is up on Drive, at least you know it's all in one place. But if you're sharing stuff, and you've got some things on a flash drive and your partner does mm-hmm. not, that's an issue.
Right.
Well, no, it's not an issue. It just means they can't see that stuff.
Yeah.
Unless you also put it on the drives. But then you just have to remember where things are. It's very much like on Windows. You have some things in your documents folder. You have some things on a flash drive. You have some things up in the cloud somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
You just have to remember where
various
they are.
Various places, yeah.
So it's not different. It's, in fact, exactly the same.
It is the same, but a little different.
Right. So, and that's and I, you know, I've come to keep everything online so that whether I'm on my Chromebook or my desktop or my laptop or my phone or my tablet or whatever.
Well, that's why I was saying earlier.
My watch. I can get at everything.
At the beginning of the show, I can sit there in my downstairs computer, log in to, you know, my Chrome, and do all I want to do. What I love about it, too, is if I open up the Chrome browser, I've got so many tabs that I open up. I can close that down, turn that computer monitor off. I go upstairs to the ham room. I reopen up my Chrome browser. There's all my tabs again.
Yep.
And everything else, and it remembers everything. It takes all the guesswork out. What used to be a big pain, and this is why I tell folks more and more that they should go to Chrome, and the fact that, all right, when it comes to mail, all right, say your computer dies on you, and you had all that mail and that stored on your desktop, you know, on your computer.
Yep.
And you're using some other, say, Yahoo or one of these other, whatever program. It's gone. Whereas if I do everything on my Chrome, it's there, whether I'm on my tablet. I can do it, even look on my phone. You know, I mean, it doesn't matter. A computer, I could go out to California, log into my Google account, and see everything. I can get at all my pictures, all my documents. Nothing is not within reach.
Right. And, of course, as long as you save things in Google's format, it doesn't even count against your storage.
Oh, yeah.
So you can put everything on the planet up there if you want to, and it's all essentially free, 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 free.
Well, that's why, again, I got in a discussion with somebody. They're sitting there saying, well, where should I store my photos? I go, Google Photos.
Yeah.
Well, what happens if they crash? I go, you know what? There's more likelihood that your computer is going to crash, and then how are you going to feel if you lose all those photos that are very precious to you?
Well, what people forget is when you put them up on Google Photos, they don't leave your phone.
Right.
They're still in your phone. So you've got two copies of them.
They're still.
You can also then transfer them to your computer. You'll have three copies of them. Put them on a DVD, burn them. You've got four copies of them. Google Photos is just a very convenient place to access your photos from, no matter where you are, no matter what device you're on.
And all your devices, you could set it so it automatically will copy them. And you could set, say, during the evening, copy all my photos and that up to Google Photos. It does it in the background, so there's no excuse. You can't sit there and say, oh, I forgot to upload them. No, it will do it automatically for you.
I have gotten so used to that now. I took a picture of the cat the other day, very cute, and about an hour later my wife came home. I said, oh, I should show you this picture, and I just opened my I was on my computer, so I just went to Google Drive. There it was. It had already uploaded, actually minutes it had uploaded, and I could show her the picture. Didn't even think about it.
Yeah, it's automatically concerned. There.
Yeah. Oh, am I hearing music? Now I'm hearing music. All right, that music tells me that we're done for our first hour. We've got another hour coming up, so don't go away. We're going to have Dave Enright, Steve Ray, maybe. Right now, I'm just looking at a ceiling. Amina, Francesco, and you. It's 59. There he is. 59 minutes after the hour. Sound bites. Member supported. Jazz 90.1. Take a bio break and come on back. We got a whole nother hour of this nonsense.
Computer talk you can understand. More Sound Bites is next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
WGMC Greece Rochester, a public service of the Greece Central School District. Jazz 90.1.
On Twitter at 901Jazz.
Welcome back to America's longest-running computer show, Sound Bites, on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Get online now. Call 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415. Or submit your question by email at soundbites.org. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 6 minutes after the hour, we're going to be bringing you a whole lot more of sound bites. You can give us a call, of course, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 1-800-790-0415. And we have Steve on through the miracle of Google Hangouts. I don't know where Google Hangouts goes after April 2nd.
Yeah, there was something about they were shutting down the home user version, but keeping the corporate version running.
Yeah, I'm not sure how that all is going to work after that. But at any rate, we're going back to the phones, and we have Paul from Canandaigua, New York, on the line. Hiya, Paul. What's up?
Question about the the Chromebook and the changing of files when you upload it to Google's cloud.
Sure.
If I've saved a web page, I've got an HTML file and a folder full of JPEGs and whatever. Can that be converted? And does it convert back when I download it to become a still usable web page?
It does not. If the here's the deal. When you upload something to Google Docs, one of the things you can do in the setup is determine whether or not it will convert things or not.
Right. Okay.
But there are certain things it only converts certain things. That is to say, documents, whether it starts out as a .doc or an ODP or a whatever, ODT rather, or an RTF file, PowerPoint presentations, whether it's a PowerPoint or an ODP or whatever, and spreadsheets, whether it's an Excel or an ODS or whatever. Everything else just goes up as it exists. So if you put up a picture, it goes up as a picture. If you put up a web page, it just goes up as that HTML code. So when it goes up and when it comes down, it is exactly the same and unchanged.
But in the folder for the web page, there are JPEGs.
All of that stuff would go up as their real thing.
As a unit. Okay. So there is no saving then if in being charged by Google for space.
Right. No. What the if you want to save space, then you only you would take the URL and save that maybe in a document. And then open it from the document, right? And then it opens to the real place, and it's a sort of a different thing. The other thing is, if you just it depends on why you're saving it. If you're saving it to show someone, you're probably better off on the web, showing them the actual web page. If you're saving it for archival,
they disappear.
Oh, then yeah, you do want to save it, but it is you're going to have to upload all of that individually. As in the individual things, and then you can download them as the individual things again.
Okay. So that I couldn't just say upload this folder and then leave it as is. I have to open it up and save each individual item, or
you can store multiple. I mean, you can click and drag multiple items just the way you can in window to window. I mean, it all works the same. It's just. You do have to do them all. It's the easier way to do it.
Okay. All right. Very good. All right. Thank you very much.
Sure.
Bye bye.
There are programs. I keep forgetting this because I don't use Windows. But there's a program for Windows that lets you essentially mount a Google Drive on your desktop, and so from there it would work like. Any other thing you can move folders, you can move, and it all gets fixed in the background, right? But if you're doing it right, if you're doing it through the web page, then you have to do it slightly differently.
All right, I had another person text in. It says, regarding daylight savings time, I am a senior citizen who has difficulty driving in the dark and bad weather. When it is dark at 5 a.m., I am very limited as to where I can go, and my mood is definitely affected. I also believe the change affects us physically. I was glad to hear the discussion. You guys are great. And I love the show. Thanks.
Yep. There are pros and cons all over the place for daylight savings time. And that's why it's taking so long for most places to make a decision one way or the other as to whether they're going to keep it or dump it.
They're going to tick somebody off. You're not going to get 100% compliance. I mean, it's just what bullet do they want to bite?
Right.
That they're going to have to eat.
The important thing to remember for those of you who still have phones you have or any sort of clock you have to set by hand is to do it tonight before you go to bed.
Or you're going
to
be late for church.
Spring ahead. Now, I actually still have one clock that must be, well, two if you count the microwave. That must be set by hand.
Well, I got a number of them. I got the clock on the stove. I've got the microwave. I've got my grandfather clock.
Right.
And then I've got a clock up in the bedroom that you.
But you don't have to set your computers. You don't have to set your phone. You don't have to set your cable box. You don't have to set any of that stuff. That all happens automatically. It's just the old tech.
So and then Monday morning when you get into your car, that clock is wrong.
That clock will be wrong. That's right. And now you have to get out the manual because who the heck remembers twice a year how to set the clock?
Although the newer cars have cell service, so they can probably auto-update too.
Yeah, they probably can.
Yeah.
Not mine. Heaven knows.
I don't think mine does either. Even though I have the Sirius radio.
That's not really a web service. Yeah. That's not, it's not data.
Yep.
It's not data. Yeah.
You gotta push
I love the idea. I don't want to spend the money for that. I mean.
Yeah. Take 2 minutes and hit the button. It says time. And you just hit
right,
the button.
Hit the buttons and make it happen.
Yeah. Big deal. But it'd be that much easier if we didn't have to do it at all. Because what's a pain in the butt for me is like with the my grandfather clock.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it'll mess up the work. So when we got to fall back. What I do is to not mess up the mechanisms in the grandfather clock. I literally have to stop the clock, set an egg timer for an hour.
Oh.
And then I start it up again.
Or set it ahead 11 hours.
Yeah, I could, but going around like that.
Yeah,
no.
Right.
No.
Right. Yeah, my and then, of course, now you don't even have to set an egg timer if you've got an Amazon Echo or a Google Home, you can just have it say.
Oh, I can have Google an hour. Yeah, I could tell Google, but
my wife spent 4 days in Arizona, and she said the only thing I missed was Alexa. And I thought, great, honey, thanks.
Shows where you rate.
Yeah, right.
Backseat to Alexis.
Well, Alexa. We only have to put up with you once a week, and that's a lot sometimes.
She lives with them.
Yeah. And I suppose I can console myself by saying she talked to me every night. She didn't get to talk to her Amazon Echo every night. So I suppose.
Hmm.
Most nights it was, I live through the day. I'm tired. Goodbye. Click. Okay, good. Okay, good. But yeah, it's she had to admit she didn't realize how ubiquitous the Amazon Echo was in her life, because we use it now for everything. You listen to music with it. You ask it questions. We were watching a movie the other day. She said, how old is such and so? Boom. Instant answer. She uses it for timers, for everything. She needed to remember to do something in 1 minute. So she set a timer for 1 minute. I said, you can't remember a minute? Well, okay, you don't have to. That's how that works. That's the way those things work now. All right, our next caller is Paul from Brighton, New York. Hiya, Paul. What's up?
Hi. I've got two Windows 10 machines, and they work fine for the most part. And they're both about the same vintage, roughly. One's a laptop, one's a desktop, but they're basically the same processor, I believe. I've got super anti-spyware running on both of them. And on one of them, you know, when I get to the point where it finds the potential malware, it erases it pretty quickly. On the other one, it takes almost like 2 to 3 seconds per file to erase it. So it takes a really long time. Why would there be that difference?
Well, there are a couple of reasons. First is you might have very different hard drive connections. There are fast hard drives, there are slow hard drives, and there are fast and slow hard drive connections. Usually, laptop hard drives are much slower than desktop hard drives.
Well, in this case, the laptop is actually working faster than...
It may well be that desktop hard drive is not healthy.
It's a SATA drive, and it's one of the Western Digital caviars with SATA connectors.
It may well be that the drive itself is you know, we talk about this all the time. The mean time between failure on hard drives is 5 years. That means some last 10 years,
sure,
some die out of the box.
Yeah.
So if this is 2, 3, 4, 5 years old, maybe.
Is there a way to diagnose what that?
Try running the
could be.
Try running the Windows scan disk wizard and see if that helps.
What's it called? Windows scan what?
Scan disk wizard.
Wizard, okay. Scan disk wizard. Okay, I'll give that a try.
Right.
Yeah, if you right click. Yeah. Go ahead, Nick.
No, go ahead. Go ahead, Steve.
Steve, Nick said that you should respond.
I think he took off on us.
I think we've lost Steve.
I think we lost him, yeah.
All right, what you can do is right-click on the drive and check it from the drop-down list. But you can also, from a command line, type check disk space in the drive letter.
Okay.
E colon or whatever that is.
All right, thanks. I'll give that a try. Thanks again.
Yeah, you'll find that running check disk will just check it. There's also ways to repair it, but do the check first.
Well, I've got several spare drives, so that might be the fastest thing to do.
Yeah.
Okay. Good show. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Don't forget, you can give us a call, 585. I was berated this week for not giving the phone number often enough. It is on our website at soundbites.org, bites with a Y. Francis would like it to remind you. It's also on the Jazz 90.1 website at jazz901.org. But I will also give you the number, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299, and toll free at 1-800-790-0415. Frankly, that number should be branded into your very heart.
Mm-hmm.
Not literally, but figuratively.
Right. And one thing we should remind folks, Monday kicks off the spring fun drive.
That's right.
And all, you know, again, we got to raise the money. So, you know, next week, don't be surprised when you tune in and we're asking you folks to open up your pocketbooks and help support this show. As all you folks have been calling in and saying how much you love the show, the next couple of weeks are going to show it in how much you are willing to support us or just sit there and go like that.
That's exactly right. The reality remains that we are solely member-supported, and that's you. With your help, we stay on the air. Without your help, we don't. All right. Here's some good news for the millions of people who freeze literally, figuratively, and mentally when you say, make up a password.
Hmm?
Smartest people I know, they're chit-chattering away. Oh, yeah, let's do this. Oh, I want my username to be such and so. What do you want for password?
They get that deer in the headlights look.
Yeah. Huh? Deer in the headlights after they've been hit look, yeah.
Oh, yeah. And backed up to see if they got them.
On Monday, the World Wide Web Consortium and the FIDO Alliance said WebAuthn, or WebAuthn, I suppose, has become the unofficial web standard for logins. It's common knowledge that passwords have outlived their efficacy, the organizations wrote in a press release. Not only are stolen, weak, or default passwords behind 81% of data breaches, they are a drain of time and resources. WebAuthn, short for Web Authentication, is a browser and platform standard for simpler and stronger authentication processes, according to the W3C and the FIDO Alliance. It lets users log into their online accounts using their preferred device, biometrics, or FIDO security keys. WebAuthn is already supported in Windows 10, Android, Google Chrome, Mozilla Firefox, Microsoft Edge, and Apple Safari browsers. Now that it's an official web standard, that should encourage even wider adoption, I'm not sure who's left, of the WebAuthn instead of passwords. Linux. Passwords are becoming less popular. Google in February said that Android is FIDO 2 certified, which means devices can use fingerprints and security keys for logging into accounts instead of passwords. That's why you can have a password, a fingerprint lock on your phone.
Mm-hmm.
The change affects those running Android 7 and up, which is half of all Android users. It's approximately a billion devices right there, not even counting the Windows device, yeah. et cetera. Are you ready to dump passwords forever? Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ, 966-5299, and toll-free 1-800-790-0415.
I just wonder what kind of laziness this will create.
Well, it's both good and bad. Yes. But the reality is that it happened to me again this week. I was talking to a guy and helping him set up his machine, and I said, now you have to think up a password. And he literally froze. Yeah. Not only did he stop talking, he stopped moving. apparently 100% of his brain was involved in trying to think of a password. And the reality is you don't even have to do that anymore. Almost every operating system, every browser has a little thing that says generate. And you can let it generate a password and then remember that password, and you don't even have to think about it anymore. But this authentic thing should be pretty cool and pretty nice. And our next caller is our friend Al from, I believe you're in Rochester?
Officially by Rochester for mailing address, but it's really the town of Penfield I'm paying taxes to.
Of who that you pay taxes to?
Penfield.
Don't do it. I mean, sorry, yes, do it. Penfield's a wonderful place. What's up, Al?
Hey, this is sort of computer-related in the sense that your home DVR is a computer in a small box.
Sure.
But I just wanted to share a little experience I've had or having. I'm a proud Dish Hopper owner.
Oh, yeah.
And it's a wonderful service. However, after a couple of years, the Hopper died. And what I wanted to share with people is it seems to be a little-known fact that if when they send you a new Hopper, if you hook up an Ethernet cable, you can transfer all your shows from the one Hopper to the old Hopper, from the old Hopper to the new Hopper.
Nice!
Yeah. Slower than dirt. It's going to take me about 2 days to transfer a terabyte.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't know what I can't explain that one. But it evidently is not well known. In fact, the technician who was helping me through a problem that I created for myself, that he'd only talked to a couple people in 2 years who ever even attempted it. And it's not that hard.
Yeah, I'm sure it's not. Well, that's good to know. Now, do you need a crossover cable or a straight Ethernet?
No. Just a plain Ethernet cable, two male ends.
Very cool. Very cool.
It's a menu. There's a hidden menu, but it's just a menu choice that says, we're about to run. You got 2 minutes to plug the cords in, and away you go. Then you either say move everything or selectively move some things.
Very, very cool.
Neat.
But, I mean, I think most people, they end up collecting shows and things they want to sort of hold on to.
Right. Yeah, I thought my cable box was dead, and I suddenly, the other day, it turns out it wasn't. It was a problem with, shockingly, Spectrum. But I really thought, man, I've got a bunch of stuff I haven't watched yet. I guess it's just going to be gone.
Hmm.
So, yeah, it's nice to know. That's great. Thanks,
yeah.
Al.
Yeah, one other thing, sure. Things I learned in terms of not reading the manual, but all your scheduling and your timers and everything, you can make a backup copy, and the backup copy is stored on your remote control.
Oh, no kidding.
So if you can, that's how you can transfer those fairly easy, or you just have a protected second copy if you need it.
How cool is that? And that's all part of this Dish Hopper business.
Yep.
That's very, very clever.
Oh. Anyways, I like I say, I'm about 1 day through a 2 day process of moving all the shows over, but at least I'm not losing everything.
Right. Complaining about the fact that you can do something you didn't think you could do. Yeah. No, not a lot of sympathy for you there.
No, not for sure.
All right. Thanks, Al.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Yep. That's pretty cool. That's actually very cool.
Or at least it can be done. That's a big thing. You know,
that's exactly right.
A lot of folks say, I just lost everything. Versus, it's going to take a couple of days, but okay, you can live with that.
Right. Now, in general, you can't copy stuff out of the system. So, for example, the other day I recorded Bringing Up Baby, and great movie. And I wanted to.
Oh, that was a good.
I want to watch it, but if I wanted to save it, I can't do that. I can't just like plug in a thumb drive and copy it off to it. And that's fair. You're not paying for that.
Right.
You're not paying for a copy. You're paying to just watch it.
To watch the original.
Right.
Download.
And I get that. I'm not complaining about that by any means. I'm just saying it can't be done. But the knowledge that you can, at least on Hopper, transfer all your stuff from one Hopper that you own to another Hopper that you own is really, really nice.
That's slick.
Yeah. And the ability to back up all your schedule stuff to the remote control itself is great.
From reprogramming and all that?
Well, the last time I had a bad thing, I got it working one more time, and I went through and I had to manually write down, you know, oh, I watched this from now to now on this channel, and then reprogram it all back into the into the system. And to be able to say, to be able to suck it up into the remote and spit it all back out onto the new device, that would be really kind of nice. That would be really kind of nice. So I find that that's a lovely thing. We're going to see much more than, of course, now, depending on what you've got, you've cut the cord entirely.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't know if you have DVR at this point.
Sling offers it. It's like $5 more a month.
Right.
That I could, but don't really need it.
Right. Most people don't.
Yeah. We catch what we want and.
I use an app called TV Time. It's available for iPhone and Android. I'll post a link in a minute. And it allows you to put in the shows you watch. It tells you all the episode lists, and then you can mark off if you watched it or not. So it sort of becomes your DVR list, because with all the on-demand and internet streaming, many times you don't have a traditional DVR function where you go back and watch something you recorded. But you can watch whatever show you want. So it helps you remember which shows you've watched and which one is next on your list.
Right, right. And many of the online systems offer a DVR for an additional price.
Yeah.
What's interesting to me is that YouTube TV, the Google one, for $5, you get this DVR that lets you record everything. You could record every show, and they'll keep it for 9 months. So clearly, you know, as long, you know, 9 months is more than a season.
Yeah.
Right. So you could record an entire season and
binge watch it. Still be done.
Right. Right. And I have to admit, and I know I don't watch commercial TV anymore. I record commercial TV and then play it back and skip the commercials.
It's so nice just to go through and have, well, with mine, it sits there and it blanks out the commercial, so it's dead for about 10 seconds, and then it comes back on.
Yeah.
And it's like, sweet.
Yep.
No commercials. So, yeah, an hour program, now you can watch in like 45 minutes.
Right, right.
You know, anywhere from between 40 and 45 minutes. And it's like, yes, this is the way TV's meant to be.
I also remember back when TV shows used to be 50, 54 minutes, and you got 48 episodes a season. But all of that is long gone. Now you get 40-minute episodes, and you get 18 of them a season. So.
Talk about not watching most, you know, a lot of TV. We were watching one program, I forget what it was, but it was ticking me off because they'd come on the air and they'd be on for, say, 10 minutes, and then they'd break to a commercial. They're at commercials for almost 10 minutes, and then they come back 10 more minutes, and then they're going to... It's like, seriously? I got just so annoyed because it just seemed like they just come back to... I don't even know if it was 10 minutes, but it was a small block of time that they come back on air and then all of a sudden go into a commercial again. I go, no, I can't deal with this. And I shut it off.
Yeah.
I just could not deal with this, you know, suffering through all these stupid commercials just so they can get these advertisers in to help pay, you know, line their pockets. No.
Mm-mm. Well, and go ahead.
I've seen some of the shows now will have like, the first break is like 20 minutes in, so you get a long shot, but then they still have to put all those breaks in, so then the next three breaks are 5 minutes apart,
right?
Which is annoying.
You see that in variety shows a lot. They do, you know, the monologue at the beginning and then maybe even the first guest, but then they'll have like two or three musical acts, so there's 5 minutes, set of commercials, 5 minutes, set of commercials, 5 minutes, set of commercials. And that's how they get them all in. But yeah, it's
pain in the butt.
It's a pain in the patoot, and I get it. I get, you know, that's how they make money. We make money by doing pledge drives, and the money keeping the station on the air makes that a necessity. But what I've begun to really hate is the commercials at the movie theater. I'm already paying to see this movie. Why am I sitting through your commercials?
Yeah, I don't mind the trailers for other movies, but right. a TV commercial on that giant screen is just, eh.
Right.
Yeah, well, that's why you can go to a show. Say it starts at 2. You can get there at 2:15.
Yeah.
And still be on time.
Also, what makes me confused is commercials for, let's say, a particular soda that ends in cola and also starts with a C. I've already made, by the time I sit in that theater, I have already made my decision as to what I'm going to drink in that movie. How does seeing that commercial do them any good?
I remember some theaters used to have a vending cart they would bring into the theater to let you buy your popcorn and soda in the theater.
Right, right, right. And at that point, it makes sense. Oh, I need to have a Coke. That's what I'm missing in my life right at this moment. So there it is. It's an impulse buy. Boom. But now I'm sitting in that theater. I have already made the decision as to whether or not I'm going to drink Coca-Cola. I don't need to see a commercial for it. Pro or con, I don't need to see that commercial. I don't understand what the purpose of that commercial is. Okay. I used to like it when they did things like show trivia and things like that. All right, that music tells me we're going to take a quick break. But don't go away. We're going to be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, with Steve Ray, with Meenik Francesco, and you. It is 34 minutes after the hour. It is Soundbites. It is the truly great and truly grateful to you that we can continue to be member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Before you call into our show, please make note of the following rules. 1. Turn your radio down. 2. Turn your radio down lower. 3. Remember, nobody has invented a good-sounding speakerphone yet. Don't use them. 4. Make sure you have a point. It makes for a more interesting show. 5. Calling does not guarantee you'll get on the air. No whining. 6. If you do get on the air, please do not tell the host what you just told the screener. We don't care. And 7. Is that radio turned down yet? We hope this will make for a more enjoyable program, and we thank you for your time.
Online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 39 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. 36 degrees. That's a nice number. And we have Brian from Pavilion on the line. Hi, Brian. What's up?
Gentlemen.
Uh-oh, who came in?
Greetings from the gateway to the great, great southern tier.
Yes.
Anyway, you guys were carping about commercials as you cut to commercial.
No, we cut to an underwriter. And a PSA. That's different.
And it's cool if you do it.
Thank you. Yes, exactly.
Actually, another thing that really gets on my nerves, too, is like fillers, like promos for the show I'm watching during the show I'm watching.
Yeah, right.
Oh, drives me out of my mind. Hey, it's the first time I ever heard you guys, and I have no dog in this fight, so I'm not propagating anybody. But Simcona's advertising or is underwriting your show now too. That's fantastic.
Yeah, we're very pleased. We're very proud of all our underwriters, and it's lovely to see. And I hope that our underwriters get some business out of the deal.
Oh, for sure, and this threw out my train of thought, and I won't use it. It kind of changed my mind during the promotion. If you ever want to meet living, breathing Nazi war prisoner with true and in the flesh tattoos, meet Lou Iacona and Cy Brightman. They're Simcona.
Yep.
And if you want to have the skin crawl right off the back of your neck, just have them show you that.
Yeah,
they're well in their 90s now, and anyone says that didn't happen, they need to call up Simcona and ask for an appointment.
Yep, exactly right.
But anyway, hey, I just wanted to say great show. And, yeah, I actually was recovering from surgery a while back and got a lot of television time. And I timed out one of the cable channels. And some of these shows are only a half an hour long, but they managed to jam that into a whole hour when it's just all just promotion, commercials, everything. And it's almost unwatchable.
Yeah. You get particularly on some of the secondary channels, you know, not necessarily the NBC, ABC, CBS channels, but the secondary channels, of which there are so many now, like the outdoor channel and like that. You get 5 minutes of show, 5 minutes of commercial, 5 minutes of show, 10 minutes of commercial, and then you get segments that are a commercial but look like it, they're not, you know, that sort of thing.
Sometimes I'm a huge aficionado of the automotive channels. I won't point to one directly, but they also at the bottom of the hour, usually 30 to probably the 36 break, they'll come in with like 3 minutes commercials, then come in with something that has nothing to do with what you're watching, but it's still the characters, little hijinks, and then boom, right back into 5 minutes of nonsense.
Right.
I was like, and I don't, you know, I honestly listen to the archive all the time. I love the Soundbites archive.
Thank you.
Yeah, I do, and it's something as I walk my dog at night, and it's always on my cell phone as I march along. Right now, as I participate and listen to commercials, they are an interruption. But a few of the old archive recordings have commercials from like the 2000s, early 2000s,
yep,
on through.
Yep.
And they don't bother me now. I'd like to listen to them. It's like,
good.
Oh, I remember that. Okay. This, that, and the other thing.
Well, yeah, there's a difference between a commercial that interrupts you and a commercial that triggers your nostalgia.
But anyway, hey, God bless you guys. Carry on, man. Love the show. I listen every week when I can. And
thanks, Brian. We love to hear that. Thank you so much. And keep watching those archives.
Oh, I do, and I'm a supporter, so I don't feel bad about listening to them.
Exactly. And thank you for your support. Actually,
one last thing while we're talking about. Honestly, whatever happened to the? I've been participating in the show and actually calling the show since the Dr. Bob days. I've been various Brian's from various spots, and I wanted to understand. Oh, whatever happened to the archive going back into the Dr. Bob days?
I don't have those. I don't have them. I would put them up if we had them. God bless Bob.
Okay.
I loved Bob. I just don't have them. We didn't record in those days.
I absolutely had the unmitigated pleasure way back in the day of sitting next to him at the airport. I recognized his voice while he was talking. He was actually on a payphone. I was like, hey. And I actually got a chance to spend half an hour with him. What a stunning, amazing man.
He was possibly the smartest human being I have ever or will ever meet.
I could not. A man who could move from sports into stellar science, back into horticulture, and then right back into, you know, hey, the color of his car.
Yep. And you talk about people who have encyclopedic knowledge. That was Bob. Brilliant,
right.
Brilliant, brilliant man.
And when he passed and he wasn't on the other channel, it was like a hole in my day. I listened to every day to that. I'm a talk radio aficionado.
Yep.
And this guy, and I have been since I was a kid, and this guy was probably one of the best I've ever heard, national, local, anytime, anywhere.
He had, as opposed to so many of the people who do this nowadays, he actually knew the subject he was talking to someone about,
and he didn't let
nonsense go through.
And you could tell it wasn't just like briefed on something. Like if he had a guest coming up and maybe he might have been a little weak on something, he'd come up and hang with the guy.
Yep.
You know, he could just, okay, well, this is what you could just tell he spent like till 3 a.m. reading or understanding what he had to talk about the next day.
Yep. He read the books that he had authors on for. He'd seen the movies that he had, you know, I mean, he really for real did it.
No doubt.
An amazing human being.
Well, I'd just like to say thanks again. I don't mean to talk over you. It's very hard to do a cell phone on the through the board, through the telephones,
and
back and forth. It is very hard. And you guys have shown a great deal of patience with that, for sure.
Well, that's okay. Thank you so much. And thanks for listening to the archives. You're one of many hundreds who do, and we appreciate that. Thanks.
You bet, man.
Have fun. We have... I actually keep track of the number of people who the unique IP addresses who download the archive every month from all over the world. And there are quite literally many, 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 many hundreds of you who do that. And we love to hear that. Love to see that you folks are actually out there listening.
Enjoying the show, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Because this year we hit the big... 30.
That's right. That's right. This year we will
Labor Day weekend.
We'll have been on the air for 30 years. 30 actual years.
Dang.
Yeah, this show is older than my child.
Oh, it's older than my first marriage.
yeah. So that's this September. So those of you who are looking for that 30th anniversary present, I don't know what the gift is for a 30th anniversary, but according to Google, it's a Miata. Excellent.
Oh, I'll take one.
All right. Well, see, now, all right. It depends on the old or the new, right? The old one, it was pearls. But now nobody stays married for 30 years, so 30 years is diamonds.
Okay.
Used to be 50 years was diamonds, but now by 50, 50 years, you're in your fourth marriage, so.
Depression.
Right. we'll take the
Miata. Add all your marriages up together.
Yeah, exactly. That would do it. That's what it says. 30 years is diamonds now. Used to be pearls. Well, every week, we are delighted to give you pearls of wisdom.
Ooh.
Here on the show. And, of course, we have a few minutes left. You could give us a call at 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 1-800-790-0415. If you don't want to talk to a human being, and really, who does? You can also text us at 585-209-9010. Get it? 9010. Jazz 901. Get it? Get it? No, apparently not. Okay. we have you covered in however you want to do that. Now, this is the weirdest thing. Microsoft has been doing its best to compete with Google in the Chromebook space, but few of the company's efforts have caught on so far. Windows 10S, and we know what the S stands for, has all but failed in terms of mass adoption, for example. Despite its rocky track record with lightweight operating systems, though, Microsoft is reportedly forging ahead with its plans to release what may or may not be called Windows Lite, L-I-T-E, like a beer. Apparently, Windows Lite will be a stripped-down operating system that targets dual-screen devices initially, though it will ship to, and I quote, Chromebook-like devices, unquote, at a later date. Functionally speaking, Windows Lite is set to be even more basic than what we got with Windows 10S. What exactly that means in terms of features and restrictions, or the lack thereof, remains to be seen. Regarding aesthetics, early photos look a whole lot like the Chrome OS. No. A whole lot like the Chrome OS. Of course, that could change by the time Windows Lite officially ships. Right now, nobody knows when Microsoft plans to reveal Windows Lite. As has been speculated in the past, though, the company's upcoming Build 2019 conference is probably as good an announcement time as any. So, are you ready for Windows Lite? Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299, a toll-free at 1-800-790-0415.
Gotta give them credit. They're really trying to come up with other ways to generate revenue.
The reality is that Microsoft is becoming irrelevant.
It's a hole that you know, has served its time and just needs to be filled up. But and it is by Chromebooks now.
A lot of people
wasn't
are going
that supposed to be the Windows S? That was their small, you know, version to run on low-end machines that didn't have all the extra cruft in it.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that was exactly the point behind Windows S, and Windows S failed spectacularly. Maybe that's what the S stands for. Windows S, spectacular failure.
Yeah.
Really, nobody liked it. Nobody cared about it. Nobody wanted it. They targeted it at all the places that the Chromebooks are targeted. Individuals who don't really want to spend $700 for an office suite or, you know, an extra $300 for an operating system or whatever it all is. And get a something that boots up in 8 seconds and doesn't get viruses. That's the big one.
Yeah, which Windows.
Right. And so... they tried to target that market, but of course it's still Windows, so it's still prone to getting problem.
Still
things happening to it.
Still problematic,
and it still takes forever to boot up, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. When schools, and of course the other thing about Chromebooks is they're giving away that management software. So if you're a school. Either a teacher or, you know, their tech person can control all the Chromebooks and decide who can do what on where for who. So, for example, you can say, you know, here's your Chromebook student, and between the hours of 8 a.m. and 3 p.m., you can't do anything off the net, off our website. From 3 o'clock till 8 o'clock, you can only go to Google Drive so you can do your homework.
Mm-hmm.
From 8 o'clock on, we'll unlock the things so you can do YouTube and Facebook and whatever it is you want to do. But then we're going to lock it again at, say, 11:30 when you should be in bed.
Mm-hmm.
And then unlock it at 8 o'clock when you get to school. So the Chrome, I forget exactly what they call it, but it's the management suite, lets you do that easily. Conveniently, it's all click, 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 basically. And Microsoft just didn't have that. And that is, of course, something that all of the schools in particular really, really want.
Well, it takes a big load off the the IT ed management in that, you know, they don't have to worry about dealing with viruses and spyware and all this other stuff. And it's just so easy to reset a machine.
And they can also very easily say, you can't do this during school hours.
Yeah,
or even evening hours until you've done your homework.
Yeah, it's so much easier for them to administer stuff than Windows
and
ever thought of.
You still have to train the users about the fake messages, though. Because we still get people coming in with their iPads and saying, there's a virus on here. Look, the message says so. No, it's lying.
It's just lying.
You can't install that software, and don't call that phone number.
And don't click that link. We still see that a lot, and kids have to deal with that. But it still makes it, you know, much easier. And the beauty is, of course, you can power wash them, which means at the end of a school year, you take them all back, you wipe them out, they're like brand new. All right, that music tells me we're done. We're done for another week. I want to thank Dave Enright. I want to thank Steve Ray, who took time out from his very busy day to show me a ceiling for much of the show. Whoa, there goes my headset. Don't go away. George is coming in to play the best German music you'll hear all week. And we will be back next week with a whole lot more of the longest-running computer show in the known universe. That's right. It's Soundbites right here on the Truly Great. And as always, and next week more than ever, truly grateful to you that we can continue to be member-supported Jazz 90.1. Be good to each other, and we'll see you in 166 hours.